Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That is one of the existential questions every person asks. How do I get to heaven? There are four big questions. Aristotle called them the causes of being, two are internal, two are external. They can be summarized by the who, the what, the why, and the how. We know who we are, persons created in God's image and likeness. We know what we are doing here. We have a time span on earth to gain heaven. We know why. Because God is perfect happiness, truth, goodness, and beauty. But do we all know the how? The how we go from here to there, from time unto eternity? And this is the question posed. And like people today, this young man falls into the error of thinking heaven is given to me because I'm basically a good fellow. I'm a good chap. I'm a decent bloke. I'm okay, mate. And God reminds him, goodness, holiness belongs to me. You need to imitate me to enter heaven. It's not a matter of ticking off the boxes like getting the car registered. Or in sporting terms, it's one thing to keep the rules. It's another thing to play the game well and to win. And we want to be winners. So the young man, when challenged, says, yeah, I've kept the rules, I've kept the commandments, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. And our Lord lets him unpack what he thinks he is good at, or how holy he has judged himself to be. And then he looks at him, most probing. Jesus looks steadily at him and loved him. Pull that verse in with the second reading from Hebrews, where God is the double-edged sword, and the gaze of God slips through or cuts through the joints from the marrow and reveals the secret emotions and thoughts. The gaze of God cannot be avoided. Nothing can hide from him. Everything is uncovered. Our Lord gazed into his soul and loved him. He did that so that the young man would then respond to the invitation. What was the invitation? Follow me. If you take the first verse and the last verse of this dialogue, it's simple. The young man says to the good Lord, how do I get to heaven? What must I do to inherit eternal life? The last verse, follow me, follow Jesus. That's how we enter eternal life. We need to reflect God in holiness to enter where the holy, holy, holy one is. We need to have the image of Christ imprinted onto our thoughts, our desires, and our actions. It's not a matter of ticking the boxes, it's a matter of transforming ourselves, becoming Christ-like. This is a unique property of Christianity. Jews and Muslims, you follow the rule book, tick the boxes to get into eternal life, but not for us Christians. We don't carry the Bible into heaven. We carry Christ's cross. We imitate Christ. One person who did that, whose feast this week, was challenged herself. She spiritually fell at the feet of the Lord and said, how do I get to heaven? Saint Teresa of Avila, mystic, doctor of the church, reformer, She was 40 years old when God said, "Follow me." She could have gone the other way, sad, like the young man, but she didn't. And she then embarked upon a way of prayer. One of the classics of spirituality is her book called The Way of Perfection, How to Become Perfect in This Life Through Prayer. She was inspired to write it for her nuns to teach them how to pray. The book's still in print. She's a 16th century mystic. Her works are still of value because she helps us imitate Christ, to follow the Lord. But don't be surprised if following Christ, we have to bear the cross. She did. In founding 40 new convents, she had bureaucratic crosses, nuns who were difficult, priests and bishops, and just the arduous task of physically going about her work. On one occasion, she was going to establish a convent and had everything in the back of a cart. It was heavy rain, winter, cold, and the swollen creek was treacherous. And then going through the creek, everything got wet and she fell out, and there's this mystery. And she got cranky. She said, "God, I'm doing your will. I'm following you. Why did this happen? You know, what's the cause of this? What's the purpose? You know, why are you treating me like this?" And the response came to her in prayer, "That's the way I treat my friends." She retorted, "No wonder you have so few." But that's part of the cross. We have to have a Good Friday before the Easter Sunday. We must bear the cross, our cross, before we rise in glory, before we can partake of His glory. And often we lose sight of that. The young man didn't want to bear the cross, and thus he didn't follow Christ, and he went away sad. We ask for the grace to persevere in transforming our lives. And we can't persevere unless we pray. Prayer is to the soul what air is to the lungs. We must pray. During the month of October, we focus on the rosary as a great form of prayer. The Mother of God has asked us to pray the rosary at Lourdes, Fatima, nearly 100 years ago. The Church exhorts the faithful. After Mass, the rosary is the best prayer. It's a prayer that unites the mind, the body, and the spirit. We say words, we use our beads, we think about the mysteries, we contemplate and ponder the events of Christ, and moreover, we bring our own lives into His and His Mother's, and we seek their inspiration, consolation, and guidance. Take your problems to prayer. And at the end of your prayer, you'll find greater clarity, easier solutions. You'll find insights that you couldn't have gathered up elsewhere. Now, the rosary is a prayer that ought not to be lost. And it's the most versatile prayer. We can say it walking. We can say it kneeling, standing. We can say it anywhere. But just say it. Get it in each day and your life will change. You will be united to the Lord. And when He looks or gazes at you with love, you too will respond and not go away sad. And you will follow Him. Praise be Jesus Christ.